So last year I presented you how mRNA vaccines work. Please look at there, but we will use some knowledge, but I will repeat that in this presentation. During the pandemic, of course, science never stops and new ideas spread, and the pandemics, that's a part of capitalism, which sucks a bit, is that you need to wait for crisis to that good things get money to grow up. And of course, some things never grow up because they never get money. But the RNA technology was developed further. So last year we talked about how different parts of this RNA are developed, that you choose a destination, you have some information, and then you add some wrapper around it so the body doesn't destroy it. So you send some signal into a cell. And this is getting more complex now, but it's giving us, like, in the end, we will have like a programming language for this. So let's first look at the mRNA vaccines again. We had mRNA. We had this destination was the dendritic cell. The dendritic cell is a cell in your skin, which is responsible for taking destroyed bacteria and cutting them off and then taking parts of it and then presenting this to your immune system so it your immune police learns how to kill it. And this is how this is wrapped. You encode this RNA at the lipid bubble. This is for so it's going into the cell, then you stabilize this, you add some parts around it so it doesn't. This was a problem with the cooling of the vaccines, which is now going to be solved, and then you print this and then you put it into some syringe and inject it into people. So different targets, but they need to be discovered. But one was here's another thing, how what I told you, it's about this cap, the information, the end sequence. But we go for the next target. This is called GalNAc. I don't think you will ever hear about it again, but if you're a doctor, you will hear about it very often in the future. So in 1965, Gilbert Ashwell and Anatole Morel discovered a receptor, the asialoglycoprotein receptor, ASGPR. This is when he was doing some experiment on, I give this to liver cells and maybe this comes out. But then he realized, all of this is purely going to the liver cells, to these hepatocytes. Just it's unique because normally everything's going to one, all of the cells, and then you have an effect on the whole tissue. But he then found out that some kind of sugar is going best inside. And after research, this GalNAc, this is a special sugar, has the highest specificity. So it means if you put this somewhere, it will totally go into liver cells. So the next part, we need something different. We know about mRNA. We now have something which is specific to the liver cell, but we want to do something in the cell because just putting the sugar there won't do anything. So the siRNA were developed. These are the interfering RNA. This was developed in 2001, and the safety is proven now, and it's used now for treating patients. This receptor we talked about can be used to transport in lipids, small molecules, DNA, everything can be. But then, of course, you have protections in the cell to destroy a lot of that. Like if you just inject some DNA of your mother into your body, it will just be destroyed because it doesn't fit to you. So you have certain elements of your body which tell you this is you and this is the other. And we have to overcome this so you can help people in the cells. One advantage of the RNA, which I also described in the last talk, was RNA is not like a molecule which just fits to some receptor, because this is how modern or standard medication works. Here we find some receptor which is like a input signal to a cell and we activate this. But this input signal receptor can change over time depending on how often you hit it, or how often it's like a button which if you hit it too often it will not work again, it will get stuck. And this is what RNA is able to prevent because it mutates with the receptor. So small interfering RNA, it's like RNA, but a bit shorter. And this is just for people who never heard of RNA. You have your DNA. DNA is your basic code. It's in one part of your cell. And to read this out, because you can't just take your whole DNA, it's like your hard disks or your ROM. And the ROM's part needs to be read out into the memory, into the RAM, and that's RNA. And this RNA has different ways of being split up, controlled. Of course, you need to do that because otherwise someone could come around and put inside some RNA, even different RNA, like viruses. Viruses do that. They go into the cell, then they put their information into the factories of the cell, and then viruses are produced. But you need to have protection against them. And we have to overcome this. And this is what took so long in research. RNA is what's used for creating proteins, and proteins, of course, what forms everything. Proteins are what you are. And depending on how they are ordered, you have different cells, different structures. And this siRNA can be used in both ways, depending on how the gene on the DNA is working. You can upregulate, you can downregulate, but first you have to find out what you're doing. So okay, what do we have now? We have a receptor to go to the liver cell. We have some tool to down or upregulate some thing in the cell to produce something more or less. And now we of course need to find some disease which is completely controlled in the liver cells because we have this new tool. And these are some examples which we use now. So for example, I'll just describe you the disease. You don't need to remember them, but you will see the pattern. And for example, the transthyretin-mediated amyloidosis. If you see amyloidosis, it always means some kind of protein is in some cell and it will grow or become more in the cell and slowly destroy it. Like for example, dementia. Dementia is said to be, or some form of dementia could be an amyloidosis. And the transthyretin-mediated one is a special one because it's used over the liver cells. So this is producing some malformed proteins, and they slowly accumulate in your heart. And this, over time, of course, causes your heart to pump less blood. But if you modify this in the liver cell, which you here see, is we put the right transthyretin gene into the liver cells, so this clumping in the heart doesn't happen anymore. As you see, I modified the Unix commands, so you have the target command. The destination is now GalNAc, which we were talking about. That's the receptor for the liver cell. And of course, rest is the same. But the siRNA encode, because mRNA encoding is a bit different to S. It depends on how they end and how they start. That's how to see which part of the cell attaches to them and uses them. So next one is, this one is a full product which you can get now on the market, hepatic porphyria. Porphyria is a disease where your body is not able to this or destroy porphyrin or get it out of your body. But and this of course accumulates over time, and this causes severe conditions in the body. You can easily see this because this there are only two conditions where you have this. But if you have, so for example, one, but it's always a disease. But when you have someone talking to you that he has black urine, please go to a doctor. And you can mostly say it's a disease in the liver, and one of it could be hepatic porphyria. What else do these people get? With the accumulation of this porphyria, there comes like an explosion of the symptoms, like seizure. They get pain in the whole body. So it's not really nice life. And before these treatments, we couldn't control it. We just had to tell these people, sorry, we can't help you. But with the new tool we now have, we can target the delta aminolevulinate synthase 1. This one controls that no porphyrin is created in the heme production. Have you ever heard of hemoglobin? Hemoglobin is the basic thing in your blood cells to transport oxygen. So, while in the disease body, this protection produces more porphyrin, but if you fix this, it won't. So, here's the code to make this. Our target is ALAS1, GalNAc again. We create it and then inject it, and people get a nice life. Yeah, it's proven to be that. We have many people who now can live a normal life. Very nice. Then we have hemophilia A and B. Hemophilia A and B are diseases where certain factor of your clotting factors are not really working. So when these people get an injury, or even if you just hit them, they will get an internal bleeding which never stops. That this is how those people died before we had modern treatment. We had something like you gave them blood samples or blood concentrates before they get normal clotting factors. But with this new treatment, we can go where this whole disease is happening. And here the target is called antithrombin-3. This is one part of the whole clotting factor parts of when you bleed. But if you target it and correct it, then these people get a proper bleeding and proper clotting. We save their life with a simple injection. Then we have hypercholesterolemia. This is the smartest name for high cholesterol. And of course, there are many theories of what they do, but at a certain level, those levels are so high that your vessels in young years become clotted and you easily become a myocardial a heart attack. And here the target is the propoprotein convertase subtilisin caxin type 9 gene, also called PCSKT9, not PLAN9, no, it's different. And when we downregulate that expression using a faulty PCSK9, we can help those people to have a lower cholesterol level and they live longer without side effects. Then, curing the hepatitis B virus. The hepatitis B virus has, when you get an infection of this one, depending on how your immune system works, you either destroy it or remove it. And if you can't properly remove it, it has a speciality that it integrates its own DNA and RNA into your liver cells. But it specifically touches the liver cell. So this is one problem that with the small infection going on over time and over time, it's one of the major causes of liver cancer. As I have in the slides, there are 257 million people who are infected. We have a vaccination against it, but of course it's mostly a thing for developed world because the vaccinations are, compared to prices in the developed world, expensive. So people get infected. Other various infections which target the liver cells, of course, can be destroyed too. So what we are targeting is we input, so when hepatitis B reproduces, it has many cascades of what parts of it are produced, and we change one protein of it, which is the center of the virus, so the virus cannot reproduce properly. And in studies, this already showed that we can reduce the virus reproduction by 99%, which is very good. We give people longer life without a liver cancer. So the fourth step, of course, after all of this is using this in practice, because even if you have these mostly studies, you still have to prove safety. It has to be used in the healthcare system. People have to afford it and they'll use it. And for example, the porphyrinia, with the, I will show you again, hepatic porphyria, This one is used now. It's a simple injection which holds like one quarter through. Instead of having, actually normally doing medicine, one pill per day, this is one injection per 3 months. And this reduces the symptoms to nearly nothing. This is revolutionary. This is purely revolutionary. It's not like diabetes where you inject insulin every day or 5 times a day. This is one injection per quarter. Perfect. Perfect. So, the future. Can we find more targets? As you have seen, all of this is based on some happy finding that we can specifically target liver cells, but there are many others. There are brain cells, different kind of brain cells. There are your kidney cells. There, every tissue has different kind of cells with different receptors, and if we find more targets, we of course can cure more diseases. So the future here is bright because the basic principle has been proven. The principle of we inject something into a cell and regulate what's produced there. This is perfect. I'm so excited as a doctor because I really want to have this in my practice regularly to cure diseases for 1 quarter. This would be so funny. And when you combine this with maybe some Unix programming where you order your injection per patient, I like it. But maybe that's a feeling as a doctor that I can help patients with diseases we long said that you can't help them and we had to just get them more fine. Now we can cure them at where they've come from. So the summary, with new targeting mechanisms specifically for liver cells, we can cure diseases we were unable to target with regular drugs. So I'm really excited. Any questions? This is okay. Is there a link with the slides online already? German? No, there isn't. There are problems with. No. No, everybody. Ah, there's one question. Joshua is asking. Are some of the diseases listed very widespread? I seem to recognize a few names. Yes, Joshua, the hepatitis B infection, I said, is. In 250 million people in the world, we have 8 to 9 billion people living on Earth. So that's how we can help them. Of course, there will be problems with giving it to everyone because most of these people are poor and rich people don't care about them. They are just slaves for the factories, but that's a different topic. But we can help them with a simple technology. The other ones are really seldom, that's true. But the thing is, before that, we didn't have any way to help them. We just had to tell us, sorry, you got this genetics, you are screwed. We can give you this pain treatment, but you will be disabled by this age. But now we can tell them, no, we can fix it. You can live a normal life. Like the history of HIV, of AIDS. Huh? Press F. Why press F? Here are the sources. You can read it up. Thank you. Just I want to talk about HIV again. The HIV was like that. Well, like in 1990, you had concentration camps in Germany where they put all the gay people because it was all the gay people who got it infected, but the normal people got HIV too. Yeah. But then, of course, this was the fanaticism. But in the background, scientists got to basic research and they found the HIV virus, they found how it works, how it reproduces. And then they produced antiviral drugs, which, when taken properly and every day, reduce your lethality. The lethality is your chance of being killed by some disease in HIV to zero. So when you take the proper drugs now with HIV, we can give you a normal life. Yeah, not like in 1990. There, HIV was a death sentence. And now we're working on something different, which hopefully this thing will help. Because have you heard of this gene scissors? This is something like CRISPR. It's called CRISPR. They got a Nobel Prize for it. This is some way where you have like it's like said, you take like a replace in a regex. You take one gene and then replace it. It's a bit more complex, but HIV is hiding itself in one cell type in your immune system, because this is what HIV is about. It slowly destroys your immune system, and thus you die of different diseases. And we now find a way to cut this out, to go to the immune cell and cut the HIV virus out. And if you do that, we are able to cure HIV. And this will be a happy day, a day where I will celebrate when we have this cure. Because this gives us the tool to cure many other things. But this is where I will celebrate. It's not like you have to celebrate championship, football championship, whatever. I celebrate science victories, and this is will be a medical science victory where we defeat something. It's like vaccines. People, why don't we celebrate them? Why don't we celebrate like the extinction of polio? Why don't we celebrate that this would be real successes of humankind, not like the current football championship. Yeah, whatever. No one in 2,000 years will care. But they will care that we eradicated HIV, because they will talk about like a like we talk about the pestilence or sometimes cholera. Yeah, because it's something far away from us. But imagine 100 years ago, we had it everywhere. Then we found sanitation, flowing water, infrastructure, which made these diseases go away. It's something we need to be proud of. Okay, any questions left? Any questions left? It's a complex topic, but I just want to show you my excitement of what's happening in my field. And I hope this is helps you to maybe get this for your field, to realize that we're really doing process, we're really changing humanity, and we can change it forever. Showing supply is saying, what do you think about stem cell therapy and regenerative medicine for geriatrics, particularly using umbilical cord blood and cord tissue from newborn infants, which is normally discarded as medical waste after the baby is born? That's an interesting topic, joins up. Maybe you have some time. So joins up line, we have these religious idiots in our countries. These religious idiots forbid us to use embryos. Embryos is just a cell which was impregnated by a sperm. So whatever science is, well, that's what always science is doing. So when something is forbidden, we find a sideline. So this started the research into how can we activate normal cell to be a stem cell, and this is what we found out. We now know how to make a normal cell, like your cell in your skin, to be a stem cell. And so we go around these stupid ideas of religious people, and now we can do, of course, more. And what you're saying is about umbilical cord blood. It's stupid because a geriatric body or an old body, it's already created tissue mixture. You have to go to every cell and specifically remove what's wrong there. But just imagine the brain. When you grow up, the most intelligent person on earth is a newborn. They have a brain where you have many connections in the whole brain, and everything can work together. But slowly these connections die out. So over the years, we lose the ability to adapt, depending on what you learned, of course. And this is how all of our organs slowly decrease their function. That's due to restrictions in our genetics and how we live our life, and what genetics, of course, you got from your from your parents. So this regenerative medicine doesn't work. It doesn't work. And of course, you have philosophical problems too. It's like when you talk to rich and poor people, the only big equality we have is death. Imagine rich people being able to live 30 years longer. This will change our whole society. No, actually, this umbilical cord blood thing is more a religious thing. It has no sense. But as you said, we can create stem cells from other cells now, and this will of course give us a platform to know now how stem cells can be used to create a new bone, how to create a new skin tissue. It's already what we do. You For skin, for example, it's like that. If you have like a big burning burn or big burning on your skin, then of course the skin has to regrow. And now we have this way of taking the lower parts of the skin, like with like if you cut cheese, it's the same way. You use the same technology, and then you cut slow slices until you're in this part of the skin where the stem cells of the skin sit. And then you use these small, it looks like cheese, like small cuts of cheese. Then you spread them out, let them grow, and then you make out of like 1 centimeter of skin and square centimeter, one like 50 square centimeters. That's what we already do to get people new skin on their body. Or there's this 3D printing. 3D printing of organs. That's what we do. For 3D printing of organs, you need stem cells. You put them into a 3D printer, and then, of course, you need. It doesn't look like the original, but you need to then program them in the way that they are a connecting cell, that they are a cell which pumps, that is a cell of for blood flow, because complex tissues have their infrastructure too. Finally, a cheesy analogy I can understand as a Dutch. Even Bob, it really looks like cutting a cheese. So imagine your back or your upper leg, and then you put some anesthetics inside and use like a cheese cutter. And then you take this skin part you need, and this is then put on another part of your body. And that's why I like medicine. You can apply nearly everything in medicine. cheese. Well, it doesn't really taste like cheese. Not that I tasted it, okay? Not that I tasted it, okay? Human flesh is nothing you should eat. Remembers me of RMS, by the way. Eating his own nails. Okay, thank you very much, everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for listening. I just wanted to present this in this audience to widen your view.